Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5 o'clock, but before we get to the drive, let's go to the clinch desk. I'm hoping there was some big inning or something crazy. It's a minor league ballpark. Give me Dan Ball. Let's go to the clinch desk. Give me something.
Go!
Well, Andy, you're half right.
There
was a big inning.
Uh-oh.
It was just another one for the Astros. End of the fourth inning, I should say, out in Sacramento. 7-0. Houston Astros leading the Athletics right now. The starter JT Jin for the Athletics is already out of the game after 6 2/3 and 7 earned runs. Meanwhile, Framber 4 scoreless with 6 strikeouts against the A's.
Did he drink his name before the game? Why'd he give up 7 runs? Good Lord.
Focusing on the plate in the middle between the.
Holy.
Yeah, not great.
Well, you know what Julian Edelman once said?
What's that?
28-3, and he said, going to be a hell of a story.
No,
it's
going
to be a hell of a comeback.
Maybe.
This is really going to hurt the Astros when they lose this game after leading 7-0. Okay, so, it's 5 o'clock. We'll get to more realistic things in the drive.
This is the drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep.
Top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
So before we look ahead to tonight's game, which now will be our chance to get the one that we need for that magic number of one to clinch the playoffs, I didn't wear this jersey for nothing today.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I could wear it again tomorrow if I have to at Fenway Park. I got a shirt underneath, so it won't smell, even if I don't wash it. But I was expecting this to be happy clinch day. I thought maybe the Astros would lose and we could just all be happy here.
It still is.
Hey, it can still be. But last night put us in position for this. And I said it yesterday. I had great faith in Crochet taking the mound last night, even in the light of home runs being a bit of an issue for him lately and some starting to wonder fatigue and innings and late in the year and too much load. But he went out there last night, 8 scoreless innings, 6 strikeouts. You get the win. Could have been a shutout, but our buddy Peyton Tolley came in and threw up a little 100-mile-an-hour BP for a home run.
Yep. Got to find another pitch.
Yeah, he does. That's the offseason. That's his to-do list. You get a little homework, Peyton Tolley, when you go home for the winter. Go find another pitch. But Garrett Crochet was on the mound last night. Sound a little like this.
Strike 3 called on the outside corner. Oh, baby, Crochet with an exclamation point and a signature start for the Red Sox ace.
We still got a lot of games that we intend on playing, and you know that I don't intend on that being my last one. There will be time to be happy about this when the offseason hits, but you know, we intend on that being a month away.
Full on, balls on the table.
Oink, oink!
I love it, love it.
So that was Garrett Crochet, and I do hope this is a... this is an afterthought story. If that's his best, most important start as a member of the Red Sox, that means things moving forward over the next week or so didn't go as a lot of us would hope when they hit the postseason. Not if, but when they hit the postseason and he's on the mound in game one. But, Ted, this season from Garrett Crochet, when you think about what he did, like I know the time for this is probably more in the offseason, but I was thinking about it today in the shower, as you guys know I am wont to do. Breslow was not in there with me. It was just me by myself thinking about Crochet's start. This, he's never been an ace. He's never been what he's been right now, and we forget that. We never include him in the young players that are learning. He is a young player learning to be an ace. This time last year, he was on the worst baseball team in the history of baseball, and they were pitching him like 4 meaningless innings week after week, right on through, down through the end of the season. This year, it's the exact opposite. The Boston Red Sox, who had flailed and failed for four straight years and fallen on their faces in August and September,
yep,
needed Garrett Crochet to be the ace that he had never been in the month of September. And last night was indeed, as Will Fleming said, sort of a signature start. Oh, you think I give up home runs? Oh, Ted Johnson was bringing up on the radio that I had that one game against the Guardians where I gave up four home runs. Let's go out against the Blue Jays, playoff caliber baseball team, right? Mm-hmm. That's a good baseball, playoff caliber. I don't know if they're a good baseball team anymore because they're kind of falling on their faces. And he went out there and he showed everybody what he is and what he can be. I don't think enough can be made of what Garrett Crochet
is. Well, it's by far his best performance of his career. Like, I know he did, you know, if you look at last year for the White Sox, it was 32 games played, 32 games started. This year, 32 games played, 32 games started. His record this year, 18-5. What was his record last year in the same amount of games? 6-12. What was his ERA last year? 3.58. What is his ERA this year? 2.59. How many innings did he pitch last year after 32 starts and 32 games played? 146 innings pitched. This year, 205 innings pitched. So a lot more work with a better ERA and a much better winning percentage. Like, that's incredible that he's got worked that this much harder than he's ever worked, and his ERA is as low as it is. That's really probably more important than the wins and losses because those factor in the rest of your guys. But he's played the best he's ever played with the most work he's ever had to work with.
And with everything on the line. Dan Ball.
And 64 of those innings come in August and September, to your point, Andy, where he's pitching in leverage games that he hasn't faced in his career, and you get monthly ERAs of 3.19 and 3.55, which aren't, you know, which aren't amazing, but still, considering that it's the first time that we're seeing him do it, pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And aside for a couple, you know, stray fastballs, I sound like Peter Schrager trying to excuse the interceptions. Aside from
the
those,
home runs allowed, whatever.
Yesterday was exactly what I think every Red Sox fan needed to see to calm the nerves. Oh, eight shut against a team that's trying to win the division. That's exactly what I needed to see to calm the nerves.
He didn't have as many strikeouts as you wanted. He only got half of them.
He didn't.
So,
but,
you know.
Yeah, but although, speaking of strikeouts, Dan Ball, could you get me the list of guys in Major League Baseball with more than 250 strikeouts? It's a long list, so I'll give you time to collect
it. It's Garrett Crochet, and that's it.
That's
Garrett
it.
Crochet, leading Major League Baseball in strikeouts.
He's also one of two pitchers to go over 200 innings to this point.
200 innings for a guy who'd never done it before. Also, I learned a little tidbit last night listening to Will Fleming and Mike Monaco on WEEI. He has started 32 straight games with a fastball. So if that was
that?
A bet, I wish I had learned it about 16 games ago on FanDuel because I could have made some money. But 32. So it's not always just you got to throw something else because I'm assuming somewhere along the way, scouting reports were like, hey, leadoff hitters, he's going to throw you a fastball in the first pitch of the game.
Earlier in the season, he said that out loud. He said, yeah, I start every single game out with a fastball.
That's awesome.
Like that. He said it and just said basically challenge you to hit it. They didn't hit it.
Okay, real quick, can we just talk about his style? Like, I love the leg kick.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see, it's a violent kind of, it's super high.
Yep.
It's.
Who else had a super high kick that he's
Nolan Ryan?
Yeah.
Nolan Ryan had a high kick, baby. And it just gets you that momentum going forward, all that power. I said this to you earlier in the season. I remember we talked about this. But what would you rather have? Would you rather watch a dominant pitching performance or like a dominant plate performance? Give me the dominant pitcher all day.
So I agree with you because I was actually thinking about that. And one of the, you know what happens in a dominant hitting performance? If a team is hitting, like along the way, you kind of stop paying attention. Oh, they got 8 runs. This game's over. Mm-hmm. But if a pitcher is at 8 Ks, you want 9. If he's at 9 Ks, you want 10. If he's at 12, you're like, he's going to get 15 Ks today. Speaking of Nolan Ryan, I didn't read this earlier because I didn't totally understand it, but Dan Ball likes to put things in my rundown. These are sort of his version of, you know, SIDs, the Stacey James of the world, and all the colleges have them. They
Dave
put out
Platty
the notes.
Dave Platty has been mine at Colorado for 35 years.
They put out, like, Ted Johnson has more tackles in the snow than any member of the history, blah, blah, blah.
I bet you that's probably accurate.
Okay, I was just joking.
Probably accurate, though.
You know who probably had more? Shadur. I heard he was a better player there.
Oh, man, son of a bitch.
Man, you are picking a fight today.
I mean, they did retire his jersey.
Retired his number. Garrett Crochet is one of three pitchers in Major League Baseball history below the age of 30 years old that in his first season with a new team after being traded in the offseason had more than 200 innings pitched, more than 250 strikeouts, and an ERA below 2.75. Those three people are Garrett Crochet, Nolan Ryan, and Steve Carlton.
Oof.
The list is done. I am finished. Wow. That is my list. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
That's awesome.
So he's doing not just Red Sox historic things. I saw there was another one, lowest ERA since the turn of the century. It's like Pedro Beckett. He's in the top five for those single season ERAs. But he's doing Major League Baseball notable things that were done 50 plus years ago by Nolan Ryan. So in a weird way, I think we're underplaying how good he's been and how important he's been. Kind of rewinds me to earlier in the show when we brought up the MVP. I'm going to say it even more definitively now. It is absolutely Garrett Crochet. It's not even close. He changed this team in a way that this team needed to be changed when he arrived in December, and probably as much so when he got his contract extension and it was like, oh, he's our guy. There's not any uncertainty. Because remember last year at the trade deadline, he wasn't going to be traded unless the team that acquired him gave him an extension. He wasn't going to pitch in the postseason. Like, you eliminated everything, and then he swaggered his way to the mound for opening day, and now he swaggers his way off the mound into the postseason. So I really think this is a little bit. We're not doing porridges that are too hot, too cold, and just right. But this porridge is not hot enough. There should be more coverage on the Garrett Crochet.
It's coming. When the playoff time, he'll get his shot.
If he wins, you got to win. If he goes out there and he gives up three home runs in the first three innings and they lose, then you won't get those roses you're supposed to get. Yes, Dan Ball.
I'm re-asking a question I think we asked 3 weeks or a month ago. More wins in October, Red Sox or Patriots?
Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm on the Red Sox now.
Nice.
I think the Red Sox are going to the ALDS. I think they are definitely advancing, and I think they have a puncher's chance here. I like, Fitzy brought this up. We're talking about this again, Ted, vibes. This team's got some vibes rolling into the postseason, and I look around the American League. Do the Blue Jays have vibes?
Nope.
Their manager last night at his press conference said the sky is falling.
Yep.
In a place called the Sky Dome, or
he
used to be called
the Sky. It feels like the sky is falling?
I don't know, but he didn't say it in a way that worked.
Gotcha.
You know how he probably had an idea what he wanted to say there that was going to like rally the troops?
Yeah.
It just kind of acknowledged that his team feels like the sky is falling. That's what it kind of did.
Put words to it, what we're all thinking.
Yeah, and then you look at the Tigers. You look at they're not doing so great. The Yankees are fine, but I don't feel like they're rolling and taking off. The Astros, I mean, until today, were kind of falling apart.
Yep. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is
it feels like the sky is falling right now, and it's not. I mean, we got 90 wins and we're in the playoffs, and if the season ended today, like I said, you're winning the AL East. I want them
start with the very beginning though. What did he say?
He did say it.
It feels like the sky is falling right now.
There you go.
He said it feels like the sky is falling.
I
know what he meant to do. Don't start with it feels like the sky is falling. You're acknowledging that it feels like the sky is falling. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Red Sox are one of the, I'm not going to say the hottest. The Guardians are obviously hotter. But the Red Sox are feeling pretty good right now. with the guy. You're getting contributions from Yoshida, Narvaez.
I know, but you know the thing, it's just, but a week ago, they none of those guys weren't hitting, right?
I know.
It's just such a hot, this team. I mean, but you get cold in one of the series, and then they're out. So, you know, they're not going to stay hot. They don't stay hot. They stay hot for a period of time.
But you know who's not hot?
They go cold.
You know who's not hot? Jarren Duran. What if he gets hot atop the lineup?
He needs to get hot.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about that. You've been ahead of that curve. Jarren Duran has not been great.
I've been so worried about that when my man Romy was hitting out of
your man
number. Yeah, that was my guy.
I think he's
right?
Everybody's man.
He is. He's everybody's man. No doubt. But that he was the perfect guy for the leadoff. So he definitely Jarren Duran. Let's go, buddy, because you got. The switch from 2 to 3 with Bregman and Trevor Story seems to be working out.
It absolutely worked. Your guy got hot, and now Trevor Duran's Story has stayed hot.
Yep,
so
that's right.
Well, at least offensively. Defensively, Trevor Story's
and now your
adventure.
Guy, who you crapped on, not
my too, guy,
Masa,
Yoshi,
is crap, knocking
Let's
the
go.
Ball out of it.
You and I can look eye to eye any day, my friend. You are a hell of a DH. And that's my guy. Speaking of our guy, Tommy Curran, when he wasn't putting us on hold, he was talking to us about Mike Vrabel and the coaching and sort of what this team is all about. I thought this was really interesting.
Are you happy with the speaking of arc and trajectory with how things have gone thus far?
I'm happy if I'm a Patriots fan to see a much better football product on the field, but disappointed that Mike has not been able to yet extract from them the pound of flesh for the mistakes they make. And I think he has to be meaner. And I think some of the players have to be meaner to each other. I think they're all very nice to each other and understanding. Yeah. But somebody's got to say, we got to cut the stuff
whoa,
out.
Whoa, whoa, hey, oh.
He didn't say it. He's fine.
Careful.
He's fine. He's good.
So cut the bleep
and
be a little meaner to each other. Do you agree? You've been in locker rooms. You've been around leaders, probably some nice guy leaders and probably some a-hole leaders. Do they need a couple more a-holes leading the way?
You know, to some degree, yeah. The heat needs to be turned up. There needs to be, I think, more consequences for bad play. Guys that keep making mistakes keep getting rolled out. And that's not setting the tone for of the culture of accountability that you're trying to establish.
And you know what I think is funny here?
And he makes excuses on penalties a lot. He makes excuses for the fumbles. Hey,
yes, he does.
It takes more than just one guy to fumble the ball. Not really, Mike. No, just one guy.
Okay, so you're not buying that either. The whole, we got to protect the guy with the ball and blah, blah, blah.
How do I defend? I don't know how to defend that. I don't know how to, straight face.
In some ways, I'd get it. I'm sure there are examples I could find.
If you block the guy you were supposed to that hit him, maybe then the ball doesn't pop out.
Right.
So
we haven't really seen these examples of a guy got blindsided because one guy missed his block. It's more at the line of scrimmage. I mean, it was a goal line play, and he was going into the goal line, and a hand reached out and hit the ball. So I'm blaming the left guard.
And one of the fumbles that Ramondre had was in the second line.
Yes.
I passed the first line.
So
in the open field.
Are there some examples of plays where, yes, other people could help the ball carrier? Sure. Yeah. Does that fit this situation? I would argue no. Also, if we're going to talk about Vrabel being kind of an a-hole and maybe leading with more of an a-hole mentality, he's been kind of an a-hole in the media at times. He's kind of bullied Phil Perry a couple times and put him. Then he had, I think, Andrew Callahan one Wednesday. We're going to have a problem if you keep asking about the last game on Wednesday. It's time to move on. Maybe that approach is what he needs to take with his football team and not make excuses for his football team while bullying the media. But I also think some of it's the players. Who's the a-hole leader on this team?
I couldn't tell you.
Maybe Spillane could be? He seems pretty hard.
No, he is no.
Diggs?
Because he wasn't playing good until last game.
Diggs?
No.
Was Willie McGinnis an a-hole leader?
He was a very tough leader.
Okay, so
yes,
whatever,
yes,
a-hole, tough, however you want to phrase it.
I would say, I would put, yes, Willie was, if you want to classify it as a-hole, I wouldn't say it quite that way, but he was a tough leader.
I wouldn't say it that way if he was within 50 miles of us right now.
Because his arm almost would reach 50 miles to your chin.
The most intimidating person.
And it's not even close.
I've ever been around.
Yeah.
Crazy. But who's the Willie McGinnis for this team? Who can be that sort of imposing figure that
Milton Williams is that a guy? Is it Christian Barmore?
But are they seem too nice and happy go lucky?
Where's the personality?
You know
this
who
team?
Would be perfect
I
for
seen,
it?
I haven't seen many personalities in this team in a long time.
If Keon White were better, he'd be the imposing figure. He's the closest thing to an imposing Willie McGinnis type figure. he's just been sort of irrelevant to start the year. And I don't, you've said it, you can't lead if you're not really.
Sometimes it's like, is it Morgan Moses? Is it Will Campbell? You know, offensive linemen are also kind of those, you hear stories about Bruce Armstrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's an a-hole leader right there. That was scary, scary a-hole right there. That guy.
Wow.
Jeez.
Tell me where he touched you on the doll. You seem like you got bad memories from that.
Dude, he had a taser that he brought to training camp one time. You never heard the taser story?
No, but I'm going to right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, man.
He tased teammates?
He threatened to. Yeah, he liked to zzz around you. And
that might be
you.
A little too far.
Yeah, maybe.
He might have crossed a line there.
I don't think he ever touched
to
anybody with it, but he would carry it around as if to say, don't mess with me, you'll get the tase.
And what year? Was this under Parcells or Carroll?
Yeah, this was under Carroll, 1997.
Carroll's like, I'm not telling him to put it away. He'll tase me.
It wasn't under Belichick. It was, I think, when Pete came.
Okay.
He's like, you know what?
All right, we don't need tasers, but I'm with Tom Curran. There might need to be a little bit more biting leadership and guidance on this. It's a young team. Young Bucks, you might have to kind of...
Or just stronger words in when you're critiquing guys, not letting guys off the hook, which it feels like is happening time and time again. And some people say, well, we had Scott Pioli on the set with us in the post game on NBC Sports Boston after the game this past weekend. And he's like, you know, just because he's saying it one way in the media doesn't mean he's saying it something differently behind the scenes. Which would contradict anything I've ever learned from coach. Usually the message you get behind the scenes is the same message you get in front of the kid.
So, and it should be.
It should be. There shouldn't be a message the media gets and the fans and different for the players. It should all be the same message.
Consistency and leadership is key. Otherwise, you have mixed messages. And right. The guys are like, wait, which one do I listen right. to? The closed doors or what I read in right. the Boston Globe right. or heard
That would
on...
confuse players.
Absolutely. And you don't want their... You don't want to confuse them. They got enough on their plate.
They're easily confused.
Absolutely. 617-779-7937. We'll get back to your phone calls. We'll also look at tonight's game. The magic number remains one. We were going to do another check-in with the clinch desk, but the clinch desk is now closed for the day. The clinch desk will reopen around 7:07 when the Red Sox take the field against the Blue Jays. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, your phone calls and a preview of Bayo Blue Jays.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.